Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, The Avenging Hand of God. Today's message is based on Revelation chapter 18. But let us open with prayer. Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our Father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatest, and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Amen. So turn now in your Bibles to Revelation 18. And after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her for her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you. Repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I said as queen, I am no widow, I will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. She will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of the most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in one hour she was made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence the great city of Babylon shall be thrown down, shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you any more. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you any more. The sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more. The voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you any more. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, and by your sorcery all nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and all those who were slain on the earth. So as we continue in our study of Revelation, we now come to chapter 18. This chapter has many questions. Is this a continuation of 17? Is this the Babylon in 18 the same as in 17? Is there more than one Babylon in Revelation? Now, many good scholars see the issue differently. Some point to two manifestations of Babylon, one religious and one commercial or material. Others see the two as one, both being judged at the same time. And we need to understand this first before we move on, as this will shape our ability to grasp God's intention for us better. There are definite similarities between Babylon as described in Revelation 17 and 18. Both are under the rule of the Antichrist and have ruling queens. Both are filled with blasphemy. Both hate the saints and shed their blood. Both are associated with kings and fornication. Both are under judgment and destroyed. This may seem all too complicated, but really is not. Much in life today has opposing views of a single entity, and it depends on how we view it or choose to interface with it. Life is never simple, and a thorough knowledge of anything we attempt to do is important. Take our police system, for example. If you are doing something that you think is wrong and will get you in trouble, you will view the police far differently than if you are in danger and praying for help. Again, it all begins with you and where you are in life. So first we have the mystery or religious Babylon of chapter 17. The symbol is the harlot or woman dressed in finery. And this Babylon is usually identified with Rome or a Rome-like organization. The woman is both a whore and a mother. She is guilty of religious abominations. The woman is destroyed by a political power that previously supported her. Now let's consider the commercial Babylon, as many have associated in chapter 18. The symbol is that of a great city, usually identified with a port city, which would indicate John's time as a center of trade. The city is a place of habitation, a great city, and a marketplace. Like many view great commerce, it is seen as guilty of greed and self-indulgence. In the end, it is destroyed by a sudden act of God. Now, at this time at least, I would judge them as intertwined, yet somewhat distinct. Religious Babylon of Revelation 17 is judged at the midpoint of the seven-year period of tribulation. Commercial Babylon is judged at the end of that period. If this is only one Babylon, its different functions will be destroyed at different times. But this chapter details the final destruction. This breadth in prophecy shouldn't surprise us. Think of what the Old Testament says about the first coming of the Messiah. Micah said that the Messiah would come out of Bethlehem in Micah 5:2. Hosea said that the Messiah would come out of Egypt in Hosea 11:1. Malachi said that the Messiah would come to the temple in Malachi 3:1. Zechariah said the Messiah would come to Zion, Zechariah 9:9. Isaiah said that the Messiah would come to Galilee, Isaiah 9:1. So which of these is true? Well, they all are true, each in a different, slightly different way, and about a different aspect of the life of the Messiah. No one is totally correct concerning the life of Jesus, but all describe an element of that life. So it isn't strange at all to say Babylon is falling and to mean it in two senses, the religious and the commercial Babylon, and at two different times. The middle of the Great Tribulation and the end of the Great Tribulation. This passage is very much in the style of Old Testament prophecies of doom regarding wicked cities. And two examples of this are Babylon from Isaiah 13:14 and Isaiah 21, and then Jeremiah 50:51, and Tyre from Ezekiel 26-28. So does this passage speak of a physical city or a symbolic one? Are there multiple Babylons? Now, even though we addressed this last time, modern scholars have spent way too much time on trying to figure out how we can apply these passages in a more worldly manner. One even suggested that John has caught the spirit of the prophetic doom songs. Remember, John did not write these words in how he felt, but in what he was told to do by the Spirit of God. Some have thought it to be a future rebuilt Babylon on the Euphrates River in the Middle East. This is now a desolate desert in modern-day Iraq. Most likely, commercial Babylon is symbolic, like religious Babylon. When the Lord was here on earth, he spoke of the great hatred that the world had for him and his own in John 15. What is the world but a combination of religion, government, and commerce? In other words, Babylon in all its parts stands for that which Christ called the world. In portraying the destruction of a symbolic city, John describes God's judgment on a great satanic system of evil that has corrupted the earth's history. So in chapter 18, the context seems to indicate that Babylon here is viewed in its political and economic character rather than its religious aspect. So we begin our lesson today, finally, with verse 1 of the another angel coming to John illuminated with his glory. This angel coming down from heaven is so fresh from God's presence that the angel glows. And so recently has he come from the presence of God that in passings he flings a broad belt of light across the dark earth. It is a matter of no great moment whether by this angel we understand it to be Christ or a created angel, or the description agrees with Christ, but also may be to a created angel. The term another in Greek is allon, and it makes it clear that this angel is the same kind as the angel in 17. And then he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. The angel announces that Babylon is fallen, and the phrase is repeated like a solemn dirge of the damned. A sad fate for a once great city. This is a prophetic picture of an absolute desolation, where the proud achievement of man can become the demonic haunts of unclean and horrible creatures. Though Babylon is considered symbolic, this destruction is certain. This is not a comprehensive list, but clearly everything evil will join with Babylon. And going now to verse 3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Babylon's sin was not only idolatry, as referred to and with the term fornication, but also pride, greed, and selfishly held wealth. Again, this is not an attack on wealth itself, but the evil desire for wealth and the will to do anything to acquire wealth. And then verses 4 and 5, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. This refers to my people, those who believe in God and Jesus. It is inconceivable that a child of God could be a part of a religious Babylon, though elements may creep in. But commercial Babylon with this materialistic lure is a constant threat to be guarded against. We all may be more guarded while we speak of the thing of the church, but we must constantly be reminded all of the world is God's and not just Sunday morning. Then it says, lest you receive of her plagues. The warning is focused towards saints who are in a position that Lot was in while he lived in the city of Sodom from Genesis 19. These are God's people in a place they shouldn't be, a place ripe for destruction. This may be physical places or in a reaching agreement or compromise with evil and selfishness. And then the angel warns, come out of her. To call to depart from Babylon and the worldliness that it represents is a theme repeated frequently in Scripture. Several examples are, depart, depart, go out of there, touch no unclean thing. Go out from her, be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord, from Isaiah 52. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Jeremiah 50:8. My people, go out in the midst of her. Let everyone deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord. Jeremiah 51:45. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? 2 Corinthians 6:14. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Ephesians 5:11. Her sins have reached to heaven. The sins of commercial Babylon have piled up like a tower, like the Tower of Babel. And all through Scripture, we have been called to be a holy people, to separate from the world. And here, this time has come for our sins to be revealed. Finally, God has remembered her iniquities. This is the destiny of the materialistic world. But towards believers, God says, I will remember their sins no more. Hebrews 8:12. This is if you have truly repented and turned from your evil. The horrors of Revelation are not for God's chosen, but for those who did not and do not truly believe and live as if they believe. Do not wait for some day in the future to make amends, for you may not have that future. Now going to verses 6 through 8. Render to her as she rendered to you. Repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I said as queen, I am no widow, I will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. She will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now the ancient Greek word for render, apodelidolim, means literally to pay a debt or to give back that which is due. God will give Babylon exactly what she deserves. Double restitution was required in the Old Testament in cases of theft from Exodus 22:4 through 9. This perhaps is a commentary on how Babylon has made her wealth through dishonest dealings and dishonest scales. We can have such dishonest acts in simple things such as word choice or the popular change of definitions. This passage presents a threefold sin. First, self-indulgence, she lived luxuriously. Second, pride, she glorified herself, set as a queen. Third, avoidance of suffering, am no widow, and will not see sorrow. All these things are characteristic of worldliness and materialism. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day. The destruction of commercial Babylon will come suddenly, and her completeness utterly burned with fire. Going now to verse 10. Standing at a distance for fear of her torment. So great is the heat and smoke of her burning that these kings must stand at a distance. Some think this may be an indication that nuclear weapons are used in the judgment of these commercial sinners, though this is not clear or certain. Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city. With a touch of grim humor, John paints them as standing at a safe distance from the conflagration, contenting themselves with idle lamentations. This is the not me thought so prevalent today. As long as it's not me. But their doom is sealed as well. And then going to verses 11 through 18, this long list needs little explanation, except in note, these are all luxuries, not necessities. It is plain that the mourning is rooted in self-interest, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. The combined picture is one of complete abandonment to the wealth of this world and complete disregard of the God who gave it. The profits of commercial Babylon have come through cruelty, using others. They sold the bodies and souls of men, slavery. This idea has many applications, but none less so than today's widespread human trafficking, prostitution, and pornography. Those who live for the luxuries of commercial Babylon will be tormented in their eternal absence for these luxuries all the more. You shall find them no more at all. Ultimately, hell will be a place of unfilled desire. Again, little comment needs to be made on this other than to notice that their sorrow at commercial Babylon's fall is selfish. But then going to verse 20, rejoice over her, O heavens, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. So should God's people rejoice when judgment comes? Yes, but we don't rejoice in the destruction and judgment. Rather, we rejoice in the righteous resolution God's judgment brings. We rejoice in the finality of God's righteous judgment and not in the suffering of sinners. And we close the day with verses 21 through 24. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city of Babylon shall be thrown down, shall not be found anymore. The sound of harps, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. The voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. By your sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and all who were slain on the earth. Now this is reminiscent of Jeremiah's instructions to Shira to bind a stone to a text of Jeremiah and cast it into the Euphrates. For thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that it will bring upon her, for they shall be weary. Jeremiah 51:61-64. But it also reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 18:6. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. This applies to Babylon in Revelation 18, because she led others into sin. It's a terrible thing to sin unto yourself. It is even more terrible to lead others into sin. The great city of Babylon shall be thrown down, shall not be found anymore. Someday this world system will pass away like a great stone falls to the bottom of the sea. So will this fall hurt us? We will only be hurt to the extent that we invest ourselves in the mentality of commercial Babylon's materialism and worldliness. In graphic and poetic language, John describes how the industry and commerce of Babylon will come to an end. And of great interest to me is the phrase, "For you, by your sorcery all nations were deceived." Now, sorcery used here in the Greek is the word pharmakeia, which means to prepare drugs, the root of our pharmaceuticals. The lure of commercial Babylon is like a drug addiction fed by deceptive advertising. Or is this the drug trade in general? But regardless, all evil is based on deception. The ultimate reason for commercial Babylon's judgment, she has killed the prophets and the saints. The blood of the prophets and saints and all who were slain on the earth, the extent of this charge is an indication that this great city is symbolic of the world system at large. There is no one literal city that is responsible for all those who were slain on the earth. God takes the persecution of his people as a personal offense. Those who attack his people really attack him. And as we close out this chapter, we should feel somehow vindicated that what the psalmists and the prophets of the Old Testament lamented, how long, O Lord, will evil be allowed to prosper? All who commit or condone evil will suffer a righteous anger when God declares its time. While many of us will never experience these horrors, now is the time to assure your destination and salvation in your life today. Amen. So let's close with our benediction. Go forth in the name of the Lord, for this is God's charge. We should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, to love one another just as he commanded us. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find a video of this message on our website. This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.